This is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. We're talking about how someone has eternal life. And we're talking about how someone has eternal life. Last Sunday, we looked at John 3. And it's the passage where Jesus says, in order to have eternal life, you must be born again. What in the world is that about? And we looked at that, and we said that what to be born again, what that means is that we need to believe who Christ is, the only begotten Son of God, divinely the Son of God, who can, He is the only one in human history as God's Son, and what He did was He died on the cross to save us from our sins. And when we come to understand who Christ is and what He did, and we receive that by faith, the Bible says that as we repent of our sins, we are born again. God's Spirit is born right inside of our heart. We're made new because God's Spirit is born inside of our heart, and that we cannot lose our salvation because God's Spirit has been born inside of us, and God's Spirit's not going to ever die. God's Spirit has created you as a new person, and that'll never change. That means your past, your present, your future sins have all been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. That means even the sins I'm going to do tomorrow, when I stumble this week, God's already forgiven me of those sins. And see, when we stumble, a lot of times what we do is we feel bad about ourselves, we feel guilty, and because we're in guilt and we feel bad about ourselves, it actually makes us more likely to stumble the next time because we feel bad about ourselves. Rather than appropriating grace to ourselves and repenting of our sins, like, you know, God, I blew that. That's good for, I'm not making light of our stumbles. I'm just saying God wants to appropriate forgiveness to us every single day. Every single day, it's a brand new day. I can wake up this morning, I can get up, and I can say, you know what, Lord? Yesterday's stumbles are yesterday's stumbles, and I am, so far as I'm concerned, they're not going to be today's stumbles, but I'll tell you one thing, I got the fresh grace of God this morning. Because you know what? Life can beat you up, can it? Well, here's a woman that life has beat up. In this text, it's amazing to me. Okay, John 3, there's a religious leader that comes to Jesus, and he really doesn't know why he's coming. He never is born again in that experience, but the process has started. Now we go to John 4, and it's now the very first encounter, I would say, where Christ takes the initiative to create His Spirit in someone or to grant them eternal life. And if you ever come to a place where you just think you cannot qualify for the love of God, this woman ought to bless you. She's been married 5 times. The man she's living with right now is not her husband. She's living in sin right now. She comes to a well in Samaria at 12 o'clock noon with her bucket to drop it down into a 100-foot well and get water. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were in the first century and you had to walk to a well probably a couple miles away, what time of the day do you think you would make that trip? Early in the morning. Why would you do it then? Because it's cool. Well, would you go alone if you were a woman? Absolutely not. You wouldn't go alone. You'd have somebody with you. Well, you know what? This woman is alone, and it's noon. Why do you think that is? Because she's an outcast. In the first century, if you were living with someone and not married to them, a little different than today. In the first century, you would have been a societal outcast for no other reason than that. This woman has the distinction of having been married 5 times. It is as if she came to a place where she said, you know what? I ain't going to try that anymore. or the man she's living with, perhaps those five husbands died. And he said, I ain't gonna try that. I'm serious. We don't know who decided what because we don't know what happened to the five men. The text just tells us Jesus says it, been married five times, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. So what I'm trying to point out to you, you know what? This is the first person that Jesus has a divine encounter with. Reminds me of those shepherds. Okay, here we go. We're going to look at John, actually chapter 4, verse 6. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is 12 o'clock noon, because the first hour starts at 6 o'clock. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. That seems sort of normal. See, what's happened is this. Jesus is sitting by the well, and his disciples have left, and they've gone to buy some food. And so he's sitting by the well, and lo and behold, and it's the middle of the day, lo and behold, here comes a woman to get some water. And so Jesus sees the woman, and he says to the woman, give me a drink. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus just happened to be there at 12 o'clock noon, when no one comes to the well to get water at 12 o'clock noon? Do you think that Jesus got his time schedule off and he said, I think I'm just going to sit here and wait. I don't have anything to draw water with. I'm just going to sit here in the sun by the well. Or do you think Jesus knew a woman was coming whose heart he wanted to reach? It's very important that we understand something. If you have a curiosity about God, if you have a curiosity about God, or if you even have a broken heart, if you have if you're overcome with fear and anxiety, don't think for a moment that God is not aware of your circumstances and your situation, no matter what it is. Here's a situation where you would think if there's anyone outside the pale of Jesus Christ's vision, it would be a woman who's got had five husbands, and now she's living with a sixth man. If there would be anyone we would think would be outside the pale, but here's what's happening. Jesus Christ is sitting right by the well at 12 o'clock noon, and the reason why he's there is because a woman is coming to the well. And he's the one that's bringing her. I've said it to you before. There's no such thing as a coincidence in the kingdom of God. When God sends someone across your path, he's going to give you a word of encouragement. He's going to give you a word about Jesus. That's God that's bringing them. When you cross someone's path, and they are in some spiritual or physical or emotional need, God didn't just have you cross their path for no reason. God is having you cross their path is because he wants to use you as his divine instrument of peace and grace and goodness. But the thing about an appointment is, if I got in a doctor's appointment, I got to show up to get the benefit and the counsel of the doctor. If I cancel the appointment, you know what? I'm not going to get the benefit of his counsel. A lot of us sometimes cancel divine appointments. We don't show up to where God wants to do something. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, so 12 o'clock noon, the woman shows up. Jesus says, give me a drink. You would think the woman would say, okay, here's some water. Look at what happens in verse 8. For his disciples had gone away, not verse 9. Verse 8 says, for the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You know, Jesus asks the woman for a drink. She never gives him a drink of water. So what she does is she says, hey, wait a minute. Why do you want a glass of water from me? Because I'm a Samaritan. Remember, Jews and Samaritans, Jews considered Samaritans as unclean. It's a long story, and that don't have time to talk about it now, but just, you'll see this in the text. They are outcast one to the other. Jews consider Samaritans unclean. Samaritans know Jews don't accept them. And so the woman says, why do you want water from me? You're a Jew. In other words, if I give you a water glass, if I pull that water out and you drink it, you have been rendered unclean because you drank water that I pulled out of the well. You got it? Verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. It's interesting. Jesus doesn't answer the woman's question. Why is it that you, a Jew, want water from me since I'm a Samaritan? You think Jesus said, well, here's the reason why, blah, 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 blah. No, he didn't say that at all. Jesus is on a totally different agenda. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who said to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give it to you. If you knew the gift of God. In other words, if you knew how marvelous this gift is that I want to give you. If you knew how marvelous this gift is, you know what? You'd ask me for it. That's what he's saying. Well, what in the world is this gift of God that is so marvelous that the woman doesn't know that Jesus wants to offer to her? What is the gift of God? You know, each one of us today have a different gift of God that we would ask for. Mine might be one thing, yours might be another, yours might be another. But what he says is, if you knew what it is I've got out here for you, if you just knew what it was. Now, to this woman, that gift of God is defined by the preceding chapter. John 3:16 defines that gift. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the gift of God to this woman is salvation. That's what he says in John 3:16. Look over at John 6:32. Okay, come on, stay with me. Here we go. John 6:32. Look what he says here. Jesus therefore said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread of heaven. My Father gives you the true bread of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. What the gift to this woman is, Christ wants to give her a brand new, fresh start. He wants to give her eternal life. That is what the gift of God is. In Ephesians 2:8, it says this. Look there. You know what? I want to mention something to you. You know what? It's so hard because I got a conflict of interest. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor of this church. I have a seeming conflict of interest. So that if I say, God's got a gift for you, but you've got to be here to receive it, I have a conflict of interest. I'm the pastor, so you would think that the reason why I'm saying this is so you'll show up. And that way, we'll have more people. The problem is, that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because it's true. How many gifts
God's people don't open because they're not at the place of the divine appointment. Do you know that Scripture actually says, when it comes to seeds being planted representing the Word of God, it says, some seeds were planted, but the worries and the riches and the pleasures of the world choke the seed so that it does not bear fruit. You know what that means? That means when a society like ours becomes so filled with entertainment that God's people go elsewhere, to the beach, to the mountains, to the family gathering, that what happens is they get distracted from the gifts that God wants to give them, and they simply are not present. There are people this morning who are not present and are missing the gifts that God had reserved for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to say that you can't get gifts somewhere else. I'm not trying to say that at all. But I am saying that we need to realize. You know, I was talking to a lady a few weeks ago. You know, this is what she told me. She comes to our church and she said, I've had a really busy week this week, Pastor. This is like the following. She said, because I asked her, I said, where were you last Sunday? And, you know, just making conversation. And said, you know, I had a really busy week and said, I had all these meetings every night. And she said, on Sunday morning, I woke up and I was just exhausted. So I just turned right over and I went back to bed. Oh, golly. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Never. Never. You know why I say don't ever do it? Either the spiritual food God gives you is true to God's Word, or it's not. His Word says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That means that if you see the food of God as the most important thing in your life, every single thing that remains in your life will go better because you've partaken of the food of God. Now, what Satan does and the flesh does is somehow gets us confused as to what the most important thing in life should be. Whether I lay in the bed and rest, or whether I get spiritual food. The same thing could be said. Oh, this is not supposed to be a part of the message this morning. The same thing could be said for this. You stay up. You know, okay, here you go. Perfect example. Yesterday I fasted until supper time. The reason why I've done that is because I believe that God will bless me, and I've experienced it. He will bless me as I study on Saturday. Saturday's a big day of study for me. And He will bless me if I fast. And every time I'm fasting, I'm saying, God, I just ask You to give me Your Word tomorrow. Give me Your Word for the people. Give me the Word, Your Word. Lord, not my Word, give me Your Word. Okay? But then this is what I did. I was so hungry at about 7 o'clock last night. I couldn't stand it. Oh. And I told Debbie earlier, I said, will you buy some oysters? I love oysters. She did. She bought a big thing of oysters, and we had them for supper last night. And you know what happened? I just stuffed. Now, what's that got to do with what I'm telling you? I got about 2 hours sleep last night because I'd eaten so much late at night. So if you're wondering why I had baggy eyes, it's my own fault. Now, what's that got to do with it? Okay, you know what? You come into God's house on a Sunday morning. Don't do what I did. Next time, I've already decided I'm going to talk to Debbie. I said, you know, on Saturday night, let's eat lighter. Because I need to have rest so that when I get up on a Sunday morning, I feel rested. You do the same thing. Why would you do that? Why would you make sure you don't stay up late on a Saturday night? You know, watch a movie, whatever. You say, well, I just want to, it's the only night I have. You know what? Come on, guys. If you want to come in here ripe in your mind and your soul and your spirit, don't stay up late on a Saturday night. Why? Why would we do that? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You want to come in? You want to get fed? So what I do is I'm going to get myself in a position so I can partake of the food. Does that make sense? Okay, here we go. Let's go back to John 4, and I'm not going to go late. I really will try. But notice what the text says. It's the same point. He says to the woman, you know what? I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. Now, if you just knew how good this gift of God is, you'd ask me for it. Okay? The gift is eternal life. That's what the gift is. If you knew how wonderful it is to be born again, says Jesus, I can do that for you. I can do that for you. Watch what she says. She said, verse 11, is this not so human? She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? So us. Okay, let me give you a perfect illustration. Last week, we were talking about being born again, and somewhere in the conversation, I said, does anybody here wants to be born again? And what happened? But three children raised their hands. Just like that. Three children raise their hands. What about the adults? No adult raised their hand. Why is that? Because see, here's what we want to analyze it. Gift of God? I wonder what that might be. Oh, I don't know. I wonder what he's going to ask me to do. Oh, I don't know about that. Gift of God? I'm not so sure about God. Preach. Oh, he doesn't have anything to draw with. What could Jesus have to do with me? 2,000 years ago, this man came to die on a cross, and he professed to be the Son of God. What's it got to do with me today? He doesn't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. Don't you know, preacher, what I have dealt with in my life? Don't you know all those people in my life that told me not to have anything to do with Christians? Don't you know my daddy who told me, you know what, he was an atheist and he said, you know what, I don't believe in God, I don't ever want to believe in God, and don't you ever trust anybody that tells you that there's a God? Preacher, don't you know how deep my well is? Don't you know that there's no way in the world that anybody can do anything about my well? He can't reach my sin. He can't reach my problems. Go heal my marriage. He don't have anything to draw with. Fulfill my dreams. He don't have anything to draw with. Jesus can't do that. Oh, if he's okay with you, preach, I think I'll take care of that myself. Take care of my son. I think I'll see a counselor about the preacher. He don't have anything to draw with. Where you get that living water from if you don't have anything to draw with? You understand where I'm going here? You see, you know what we do? Why did I just tell you that we need to specifically pray for divine, miraculous act? You know what I did? I said Jesus has something to draw with that we don't. That's what I said. Jesus has something to draw with that we don't. You say that well's too deep, preacher? These people have Lyme disease? That well's too deep, preacher. God can't heal my problem. God can't work in my life. God can't heal this. God can't do the miraculous. Come on, guys. That's exactly what the woman is saying. Where you get that living water? You don't have anything to draw with. What's that living water going to do for me? It's going to change. No way. I don't believe it.
You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? She says. He gave us the well and he drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. You're not greater than our father Jacob. In other words, yeah. Jesus, the Son of God, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference. All the difference. That's what the woman's saying. Living water? I got this well full of water, and you're offering me living water? Well, if this living water is real, is it greater than Jacob?
You see, when it comes to being born again, the who of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. And until you come to a place where you believe with all your mind and your heart and your soul that is uniquely the only begotten Son of God, you will limit everything He does in your life. Greater than Jacob, she says. Jacob.
You know, Jesus could have sort of had a little attitude right here. It's interesting to me. She never answers Jesus' response. And Jesus never responds to hers. Jesus has one objective, to give her the gift of God. And she keeps changing the subject. You ever talk to somebody about Jesus like that? I talked to a lady on the phone. She may be here today, I don't know, but no one will be able to identify if you are, so I just want you to know, don't worry. I talked to a woman on the phone this past week. She called me and she said, I had done a wedding for her child 10 years ago. I don't remember the woman. I do remember the daughter. Here's what she said. I am a caregiver. She said, all through the day, I give care to other people. And she said, I pray all the time, and I pray all the time, but something's wrong. I'm missing something. I said, well, have you talked to your pastor about this? What church do you belong to? And she said, I don't go to church. I said, you don't go to church? She said, but I pray all the time. I pray all the time. And, you know, I'm always serving God. But I don't go to church. How is it that the church has so tarnished gift of God? How is it that the church has done this? That a woman would think she could give to others without receiving the blessings of Christ in the instrument that He has provided to humanity. How is that possible that the church has done that? You understand what I'm saying? Is somehow this blessed house where people can come to give, to receive the power.
power of the Holy Spirit to minister in the name of Jesus, this woman didn't think she needed it. How is that possible that we have done that? She said, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. You're not getting any spiritual food. How can you always give if you never receive? You can only give from what God has given you.
Here we go. We're finishing right now. He says, everyone who drinks of this water, he's pointing to the well now. He's pointing to the well. He says, everyone that drinks of this water is going thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Okay? Here's what he just said. Says, if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst. Why is that? Because I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I am thirsty for God. What he's saying is, the reason why you shall never thirst is because if you come to me and you drink my food, I will satisfy your thirst. If you continue to go to other places other than me for satisfaction, you're not going to find it there. This woman has had 5 husbands. She's living with a 6th man. Tell me where you think she found her satisfaction. Or rather, where she attempted to find her satisfaction. This woman tried to find her satisfaction in men. Now, you know what? You can take a line and you can give me a blank line and you can put on that line the places that humanity tries to find satisfaction. What Jesus is saying, if you drink what I am offering you, you will be satisfied and you will not thirst. Now, don't misunderstand what he's saying. Don't think that that means that you don't need to keep drinking. Because that is precisely the point, okay? Because even in the Old Testament, he says, today's manna is only for today. You get one day's supply of manna, and you come back tomorrow to get manna. You don't get 2 days supply. You get 1 day supply, because if you get 2, it's going to spoil. What does that say? You keep coming to Jesus for living water. What is it that living water does? It makes dead things come to life. Here is a woman who is dead. How is it possible that she can come to life? Jesus uses the metaphor of a stream that is moving and is taking oxygen every place it goes. It's moving. Christ says, I will make you alive. Colossians 2:13 says, when we were dead in our transgressions, Christ made us alive together with Him. How can He make us alive? Number one, He grants you forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ when you place your faith there. He makes you a new person because the past is in the past. When He forgives you, He says you forgive others. And so now I'm released from the bitterness of life. He says, I'm a new person because of Jesus Christ. Now, if I stop drinking of Christ, what will happen? It will be as if this. I went and took a bucket, and I dipped down into a stream, and I got that water, and I just let it sit in that bucket, and eventually it became stale. And what happens to the body of Christ is somehow, for some reason, people get mad at one another. They get mad at a pastor. They get mad at something. They have a building program, someone that like to color carpet, and they just go home, and they think they don't need the church because what happened to them, and in the process, the living water grows stale. Last point. Look at what Christ does. The woman said, finally, verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband." Changes the subject. "Go call your husband." Well, I wonder why he said that. "You want some living water? Oh, go call your husband." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. You have said this truly." It's amazing. If you want the living water of Jesus Christ, what does he do? He brings our sin up. So, you know, we got to do something about this sin. You know, you can't ignore it. Can't act like it's not there. It's there. Hey, I'm not bringing it up to make you feel condemned. I'm bringing it up for you to be set free. And the rest of the story is a woman comes to understand that Christ is a Savior. She goes and he tells her whole city. Look at verse 42. "And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Now the whole city comes to know Jesus Christ because one woman at 12 o'clock noon thought she needed some water, and what God had in mind for her was a whole lot bigger. Perhaps this morning you came in here because, I don't know, maybe it was because of somebody up here singing, maybe it was because you had a friend, and what God has in mind, he wants to say to you, if you only knew the gift of God I have for you today, so that if you ask me, I'll give it to you. You have to ask me, though. I'm not going to make you take my gifts. That's what he said to the woman. He said, if you just knew what is here for you, ask me. Just ask me. And let me give it to you. Let's pray. Father, there are those in this room, and the gift that you have for them is eternal life. As a woman was required to ask, so are they. So I pray that they would open the gift of salvation today. There are others in this room, Father, and the gift that you have for them is totally different. But they also must ask. So, Father, I pray that we would all see Jesus as the only begotten Son, who reaches down deep into the wells of our lives and our hearts. And as Oswald Chambers said so beautifully this past week, there is no well too deep for Jesus. So, Father, I pray you'd show us. You prompt us to just ask, that we might receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our musicians will come now to lead us in our singing.